Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. Hey, you guys, Steele here. Just before I was about to post this live episode, Variety.com have reported with an exclusive Star Wars Han Solo spin-off, Lord and Miller fired after clashing with Kathleen Kennedy exclusive. Phil Lord and Chris Miller's reputation for writing poppy films such as 21 Jump Street and The Lego Movie helped the white-hot directing duo land one of the most coveted gigs in Hollywood, a chance to call the shots on a Star Wars film. But their chance to put their stamp on a galaxy far, far away collapsed on Tuesday with the stunning announcement that the pair would be departing the still untitled Han Solo spin-off movie in the midst of production. Their exit comes after months of conflict with producer Kathleen Kennedy, others from her Lucasfilm team, and co-writer and executive producer Lawrence Kasdan, and the two directors hired to infuse the Star Wars universe with a tongue-in-cheek sensibility. Miller and Lord were stunned to find that they were not being granted the freedom to run the production in the manner which they were accustomed to. They balked at Kennedy's tight control on set. A person with knowledge of the production said the chemistry between the directors and Kennedy was never right. It was a culture clash from day one, the source said. She didn't even like the way they folded their socks. Wow. Sock issues. So we just got that in. We did not have that information when we went live, but here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars, and this is an impromptu sudden live call-in show reacting to the jaw-dropping news, which just broke, that we have lost Phil Lord and Christopher Miller as our Han Solo Star Wars spin-off directors. We didn't even get a name yet. We've got 3 weeks left of filming from what the internet tells me, and they are out. And I quote, "Unfortunately, our vision and process weren't aligned with our partners on this project." That is from Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. I first saw it in a tweet from the Hollywood Reporter, because Hollywood Steel follows anything with Hollywood in the name, and they have got a very maybe the most unexciting page I've ever seen on StarWars.com. It is just the Star Wars logo, a message from Lucasfilm regarding the untitled Star Wars Han Solo film. The untitled Han Solo film will move forward with a directorial change. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller are talented filmmakers who have assembled an incredible cast and crew, but it's become clear we have had different creative visions on this film, and we've decided to part ways. A new director will be announced soon, said Kathleen Kennedy, president of Lucasfilm. And then it includes the Phil Lord and Christopher Miller quote. On the line, co-hosting this emergency live call-in show, we have got our previous guest, Emily Lind. How you doing, Emily?
I'm good. I'm a little bit in shock. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. It's all a little bit insane.
It's just like you have to check the date. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of traveling. I can't keep track of time. Is it April 1st? I have no idea. But as I tweeted, The fans of Star Wars this week were screaming, we want you to get a new director, Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm said, okay. And the fans said, wait, wrong film. Wrong one. Oh, my God. So we have got a lot of people that are suddenly calling in. But let's go to our good buddy, Jason Ward from MakingStarWars.net. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Oh, it is crazy. I imagine your phone is lit AF right now.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go out to dinner and not answer any of it. But my best friend still called, and I couldn't say no.
So,
well, it is shocking that how long we podcasted last night that we didn't just keep going until this broke live.
Sorry, you cut out on me.
I said after how long we podcasted last night, I'm shocked that this news didn't come out live while we were still going.
Right? That would have been nice. It's kind of strange because I don't want to say anything about the dumb things that I was hearing, but I heard just small things about discontentment and disagreements that would go on. But you hear that on any movie, and I didn't want to even touch it on this one because of the Rogue One edit. And so I'm so surprised that this stuff didn't sound like it was as major as the Rogue One stuff. So I'm still maybe I just don't know everything, which is likely, but it's such a crazy thing to imagine that both directors were just peace out. We're we're gone. We're going our own way. And I'm sure whatever it is, whatever the press release is saying, it sounds a lot better there than it was. You know what I mean? I'm skeptical. On that side of things, so I'm curious to see what it is, or if it had to do with the inclusion of CGI characters.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, it has to be worse than it is in the press release. Although I would like the argument scripted that way, just a heated boardroom argument. Just unfortunately, our visions and process are not aligned with our partners on this project. And then Kathleen Kennedy screams back, you are talented filmmakers who have assembled an incredible cast and crew.
I think unhappy you have to be in order for this to happen with 3 weeks left in filming.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Many of us are in jobs we don't enjoy, and they don't involve Han Solo.
it clearly to me sounds like it comes down to something that they didn't want to put their name on, or they didn't want to get blamed for it, you know, that sort of kind of scenario, because that's the only way I could see anybody walking away from a Star Wars movie, especially at around the age those guys are. It's got to be the reason that they got into filmmaking.
Yeah.
So to walk away from the dream, and that's got to be a pretty big disagreement, or a pretty big the vision has to be vastly different than what they want. There was an article up on Inquisitor a couple of days ago saying that there was trouble, and
really?
I'm not sure if that article. Yeah, I'm not sure if that article ended up being true or not, or if it was just good luck. You know what I mean? Bad info, but good luck, or if it was dead on. But it's definitely worth revisiting the Inquisitor article now.
Okay. Now, I've finally seen a few people, they're trying to say there's nothing to panic about on Twitter. I don't see how there's not something to panic about.
Yeah, this is the epitome of a panic situation, because you have a movie that is almost done with a director's left. I mean, that's pretty much as bad as it gets. I mean, they already had two directors on the movie that were working together, but, you know, that has to be difficult unto itself, even in the greatest of partnerships, I would think. And to go and then to bring in somebody else, I mean, I guess to Lucasfilm, though, it's just going to be yeah, so we got Gareth Edwards, and now we're bringing in Tony Gilroy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe from their perspective, it's just maybe the tension all arose during the, reshoot process about what that was going to be. And maybe they just didn't want to be involved in a Tony Gilroy situation, you know?
Yeah. Do you think maybe it's easier for two to pull out because they get to sort of discuss it with each other than like one guy doing it? Or am I... I'm just thinking about like my personal relationships, and it's easier like to have someone else to bounce it off. Just like, yeah, let's get out of here.
Well, like, yeah, when it comes to like pressure and stuff like that, I mean, one of the things Paul McCartney always talked about when he spoke about Michael Jackson was pretty much like, yeah, of course he went crazy. Like we had three other guys to talk to and he was by himself. And so I would imagine it is a little bit easier maybe to walk away as a team. You know, when somebody else has your back.
Well, yeah, it's one thing if you're unhappy, but if you are watching, like, your long-term, like, partner be unhappy, I think that would spur you on a little bit more.
Definitely.
Now Jason...
Yeah, and the movie better be good, too, or cause it's going to have that scrutiny of, oh, well, what was the Chris Miller Full Lord cut like? Show me that cut!
Yeah. Yeah, the thing was, you know, I talk to, you know, people on this show every week, and one of the things of contentment in the land of fandom was that, like, that these two, like, you know, with the Kasdan script, they're going to put out a banger. Like, people
yeah.
seemed very at ease with the team, and wow. Like, I don't know, did one of them, like, pull a trank and couldn't find a bathroom? Like, what is going on?
I mean, for I guess the positive side for us Star Wars fans is that they likely shot a lot of great action. And they just won't reshoot that because the guys walked. They'll keep all that stuff. I'm going to think it's likely the, Endless Nest stuff and all that kind of jazz that they filmed. Where that there can be more quieter moments. I'm thinking that's where the big difference is going to be.
Now, you mentioned briefly before something about CGI characters. Go a little bit more into the speculation around that.
I'm trying to think of how to put it without saying something wrong or too much, but that's there was some stuff about using animated characters. And an animated character in a certain sequence that they didn't want that to happen and that they weren't going to get the money for it. And so they were just going to toss it, but it was kind of important and they wanted that scene done.
Wait, I need you to clarify that. They wanted the animated character, but they couldn't get the money for it. Is that the math of that?
Sorry, Lucasfilm or Disney or the studio, however you want to put it, wanted them to use an animated, a CGI character for a sequence is one of the things that I've heard, and that they didn't want to do it that way. They wanted to use a real man or a real person or a puppet or something like that, and that it wasn't going that way in terms of the budget, and it wasn't going that way in terms of what they were going to have to do reshoot. But like I said, I hear bad stuff like that kind of stuff all the time. Sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not, and sometimes there's more to the story. And I almost never report that stuff because, you know, Star Wars fans, they get really, really timid about any kind of bad news. Even when it's not really truly bad news, it just makes them nervous. And so I try not to report that kind of stuff too much. And I didn't even bother, like I said, I didn't even bother digging into this on this side of it after Rogue One, because Rogue One was just such a headache with all of the turmoil there, and even just talking about the subject was a pain in the ass, you know?
Yeah, now, well, you know, you did get a lot of flack about the reshoot stories. You know, you said it was about 6 weeks. They said it was 3 weeks. Do you think that everyone's going to be saying you lost two directors, and in the publicity material they'll be like going, no, we only lost one director. It was one.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Now,
so they're going to be like,
nah,
they were a team. It was one.
Do you think they already have a director lined up and just aren't announcing it yet, or are they in complete, like, panic mode now?
I don't think it's panic mode because they had already had a press release ready. And mm-hmm. and with that, in, I mean, you know, not that they couldn't get somebody like Dan Brooks or something just to sit down and do it right then. I'm sure that could happen. But usually with the amount of eyes and the bureaucracy around that kind of jazz, I would imagine that it's been this way for at least a few days. At least. And the like I said, I got to look towards that Inquisitor article now. And that was, I think, last week. And so if you want to, you know, just get down to what a timeline could look like, I mean, that would probably put it at least 2 weeks worth of discontentment and figuring out how they were going to leave the picture and stuff. Because I don't know what it's like to walk away from something with those kind of contracts and stuff. Because, I mean, I imagine on one hand, they have to get paid for the work that if they did do. But on the other hand, there's probably all kinds of clauses about, like, if you don't finish the picture and that kind of stuff. So I have to imagine it's complicated to walk away and to get to the point where you publicly announce it and it's official, I would think. But just a guess on my part.
So say they do have someone lined up. Do you think what's easier to say the directors are gone and here's the new director, or the directors are gone, give it a week, and then here's a new director? What's the karma? Is it easier PR wise to let people accept the loss of directors before introducing the new one?
Probably, but they're also probably they were pretty close to finish with the principal photography. So on one hand, maybe they're just going to close up shop and then sort of start the reshoot process a little bit early to pick up what they, you know, or more extensive reshoots, if you will. Maybe it's just going to be like that in the end. I mean, because we don't actually know what the disagreement was, like where did Lucasfilm and the directors, you know, diverge? Like, it could be something so small. It really could be. It could be like, we don't want this character to die, or we don't want Darth Vader to come in, or we do want Darth Vader to come in. It could just be something as dumb as that. And or it could simply be that, like, the Inquisitor rumor that ran was, I think it stated that the acting was, like, really, really weak. And it was, like, kind of second to the action and to the comedy, and that they wanted a little bit, they wanted them to step it up more. And they weren't having it. So that was that rumor.
Okay, so I found this article.
It's going to be like Rogue One. It's going to be tone, probably, if the Inquisitor stuff is true.
I found the article. Rumors have emerged that the upcoming Han Solo spinoff hasn't quite hit the mark, and this is from Inquisitor.com, hasn't quite hit the mark during its production, with the latest speculation suggesting that the acting isn't up to par as expected, and even the action of the film is a little disappointing. Because of these issues, the Han Solo film is expected to undergo reshoots in the very near future in order to solve them. What do we else we got down here?
And it should be noted that it, like, I don't know if they've ever had, like, a really big scoop that's panned out. Like,
yeah.
I remember there being stuff like Sabine was in Rogue One and things like that.
Okay, well,
so when I saw it, I didn't take it that seriously.
Okay, well, if you throw enough darts, eventually you'll get it in the center.
yeah, potentially.
Oh my God! On this article, there is a picture from what is this? What account is this? Star Wars Roman numerals 8, and then the number 8 account. Star Wars News, and it's Donald Glover and Woody Harrelson, like, at a table, and they look like they're living that Harrison Ford life. They are looking. Get the sunglasses on at nighttime. Man.
Yeah.
They need to get on the Jason Ward sunglass program.
Jason Ward at Celebration style.
I mean, you hear a lot about reshoots. You don't normally hear reshoots because the acting was bad. Like, that seems very unusual. And again, I mean, it's the Inquisitor, so who knows? But,
yeah.
I mean, that is not giving me a lot of hope.
Yeah, and that's what rebellions are built on.
But
yeah,
I mean,
so
but
everyone, the Inquisitor
was
story
that
is
they hadn't.
The Inquisitor story is, you know, not confirmed, but it's, you know, where there's article 7 days ago, there's press release today, and internet fire. That's what my grandma used to always tell me.
Internet fire.
Wow. So, do you think there's a chance we'll have a Han Solo Christmas, or are we locked in?
Oh man, see that's where it gets difficult, right? Because 8 and 9, you know, are going that route, right? I mean, they're moving to May, right? And then so they're moving. So that would mean that if they'd have to move it until after episode 9, unless they just do it randomly. I mean, they did say in the press release that it was still slated to come out on the same, you know, the same release date, but that doesn't seem likely to me.
Mm.
But it depends on how much they have to like redo in Lucasfilm's eyes. What was the issue? I mean, never mind Phil Lord and Chris Miller. What does Lucasfilm think? Because whoever they hire, it's going to be somebody that they're hiring to do the specific changes, I would think. Unless like the whole movie was unusable and it was that awful, which I have a hard time believing because those guys seem pretty competent.
Yeah, it's It's shocking. I'm shocked. I'm chagrined. And I wish I had another word that I could add in there.
Colin Trevorrow's just like, yes. I mean, not that he wished bad on him. He's just like, yeah, talk about those guys now. Leave me alone.
he's put the slippers on tonight, and he's just kicking back.
You got a smoking jacket on. You're just chilling.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
I do wonder though. I mean, if you're a director who's somebody who has a strong vision, like it seemed like these two did, does that then give you pause for taking on a Star Wars project in the future?
God, you know that's like a really good question because I was thinking about that on the way over here, and I was like, why do they keep hiring young directors to make the spinoff films if they don't want to let the young directors make their spinoff films? I mean, you know, we lost Trank, and that's because Trank, you know, he had other things going down. But still, I mean, it was a young director. He's gone. Gareth Edwards, he wasn't there for the whole end of the shoot. Everybody I know who worked on the reshoots didn't even see him. And so he stepped away from that movie, you know, after they took over with the reshoots. Now we've lost these two guys, so when you get down to it, it's like really like 4 young directors that never got to make their movie. They got to make the team's movie, or not, except for Trank. But, I mean, so just maybe they shouldn't do that if they're not willing to let them follow through.
Man, it is crazed. So, Jason, what should Star Wars fans be doing?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In your opinion, should there be some mild panic?
I don't see the point in that. I think that it, yeah, I mean, things don't look good, but you just got to hope for the best. And I mean, the truth is that if these movies are so heavily peer reviewed, in my opinion, that they're going to be broadly successful almost no matter what, you know, they're going to kind of hit the marks that most of the demographics and most people want. And so I still think at the end of the day, they will end up delivering a Han Solo movie that probably makes everybody generally happy. Now, will it be exceptional? That's like the whole question. And we still don't know. I mean, we may never know if the work that they did was even acceptable. I mean, maybe it wasn't. Maybe they, you know, because, I mean, those guys made, you know, 21 Jump Street, which is like, you know, real world action and stuff like that. And there was a lot of puns and stuff like that, like where you thought the car was going to blow up and then it didn't and that kind of stuff. But maybe their sensibilities just really don't actually work on the full on blockbuster genre, you know, at the end of the day. I hope there's some elaboration or they talk a little bit, you know, sooner than later. But I would imagine that that NDA is probably pretty tight.
It's a shame that this is the second one in a row where we don't get, like, it's not pure.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. You know, like Rogue One, obviously, you know, it wasn't what, you know, Gareth originally had visioned in putting up there. And now this one's, again, it's not the pure vision of the filmmakers by any stretch. So there's always going to be that second guessing, you know, like it was always, you know, for original trilogy fans back in the day, it was always like, oh, they should have had the big scene in there. And, you know, these days it's like, yeah, should have had that 45 minutes in there just to see.
Yeah, it's like I was saying about young directors, maybe that's not the way they should be going. And the question is do you have to be someone like J.J. Abrams to be able to get in there and, you know, swing your power around and make the movie that you want to make?
Yeah, and, well, the thing with JJ to coin a or to borrow a George Costanza saying is he had hand. Do you know what I mean? Like he knocked it back.
Yeah,
and then you know they had to go back to him, and that's it was like he had maximum hand. He got to call the shots.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm wondering, you like that?
Mm.
I'm curious to see who they bring in, you know. And one of the things that I was wondering immediately is if the Boba Fett movie is going to happen, are they going to bring in the person who may go on to do that next film to sort of do like a preliminary kind of run with that person? Because that would make sense to bring in the director of whatever the next Star Wars film, the next spinoff. And kind of work with that person and get that relationship down a little bit.
Yeah, and get that sweet cameo in there. But
get that sweet Boba cameo, yeah.
How is that viewed? Like, do you know what I mean? They've filmed this film with 3 weeks to go, and then to sort of come in and take over, it's a little bit of a like a seagull, you know, or you know, just picking at the carcass type job.
Right.
Like it's not a prestigious job to get.
No, it isn't. But it depends, like I said, how much are they going to change? How extensive are those reshoots going to be? And when I learn what it's going to be, do I even want to talk about it?
do you think Tony Gilroy's just leaned out his balcony to his contractors and just said, like, double the size of the pool. Double it.
Yeah. He probably texted Lucasfilm, hey, remember when you guys were giving me like $100,000 a week? Let's do that again. You guys know my number.
Oh, man. It's, I'm seeing a lot of these. I don't know. The stuff with Colin came up this week and there was a lot of, you know, tweets and podcasts I listened to that were just like, I just trust Kathleen Kennedy, you know, and I'm seeing a bit of these tweets now and I'm just like, I'm a fan of her. I have huge respect for her, but these spin-off films aren't going that smooth.
No, overall they aren't. And I think the problem is probably the fact that they hope to make these movies for a lot cheaper. And they want to make those Star Wars on the cheap a little bit is kind of the vibe that I get. And so I kind of think that you're always sort of asking for a bit of a miracle in doing that. And this movie was always sort of like the stepkid of the whole thing. I mean, episode 8 was going to come out, and then like 5 months later, this movie was going to come out. It wasn't going to get the full, you know, all of the love that it needed. Everything that I have been hearing, even before now, was that we weren't going to get anything at D23 for it. And it was going to be, you know, episode 8 was going to be the D23 experience. So the movie wasn't even going to really get that solid of promotion. It was going to kind of like sneak up on everyone, and we weren't supposed to see anything from the movie until the fall. You know? So I'm a bit like I'm in a way I'm kind of wondering if in the big picture this could be for the better, but on the other hand, I am kind of like the thing I liked about this movie the most was that it was those two guys making it.
Yeah,
that was where I thought they were going to nail the comedy and the charm, which is, you know, for a Han and Lando centric movie, you would think would be key.
All right, Jason, I've actually got to go pretty soon, so I will let you get back to your dinner, and then we'll quickly take some calls with people's tight reactions. That's a hint. Keep it as tight as those MDA documents. Now, thanks so much, man. I will talk to you before the end of the week.
Bye.
Bye.
Alrighty, so as I hinted at, we've got a bunch of people on hold, and I actually have to get to an event in about half an hour, so we're going to keep it nice and quick. Let's go to King Tom. What are you thinking, buddy?
Hey, Steele and Emily. First, I want to say thank you both for doing this, especially on such short notice. And I think you guys kind of mentioned a lot of my questions, but the thing is right now, I know everything is up in the air, but I trust Kathleen Kennedy because she's done everything right. She knows, you know, she's been a movie producer for 20, 30 years. And for me, she's done right with this franchise. And yeah, you had the two guys who were overseeing this one project gone, but you also have Lawrence Kasdan, who was one of the two people writing it, him and his son. And if they're behind the project, I still think it will be decent. I still think it'll have the voice of Star Wars. And not that I know directors or anything, but because he's been involved up till this point, I wouldn't be surprised, because I know he has experience in the past, but if they brought Kasdan on to fill in as the director.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure if that's in his wheelhouse at all, though.
Yeah. Well, I think he's directed in the past. Maybe not this type of movie.
Interesting.
I mean, Kasdan's script definitely still gives me some hope. And in some ways, I'm less worried about what this means for Han Solo and more worried about what it means for future spinoff films. Because I saw those directors as being a sign that these spinoff movies were really going to be allowed to be their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like maybe the movie was terrible, but mm-hmm. I do think it makes me think that maybe these are actually going to be a lot more samey than I wanted them to be.
Yeah.
All right, like Tom. I'm going to have to call it quick because I do have to go, and we've just got all these people online. So we've got one vote in favor of In Kathleen We Trust. Thank you, King Tom. We are doing another call-in show on Friday, and I'm sure this will be a hot topic. So call in then, buddy. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks.
Cheers. All right, let's go to Alex. Are we in Kathleen We Trust? Where are you sitting on this contentious issue?
I am in Kathleen We Trust for sure. I'm in that camp.
Okay. How are you feeling?
Now, I'm shocked like everybody else, but here's what I'm wondering. Like, we keep speculating that it was the directors who walked away, but are we sure that was the case? And it's not the other way around.
Well, it's definitely... One of the two. It's one of the, you know, the thing we do know is that they didn't agree.
Yeah, and so, like, and I think Emily kind of hit on the point that I wanted to point out. Like, what if this was a little too zany for Star Wars? Like, I think we all want, like, the spinoffs to be a little bit different and have, you know, their own flair and personality, but at what point does it stop being Star Wars? And so, you know, just seeing movies like 21 Jump Street and stuff, like, I'm going to be honest, I never really fully had confidence in those directors anyway, but that's just my opinion, and I'm in the minority in that, but it is troubling, especially, you know, with so much of the film done, just to walk away like that or whatever happened, it is troubling, but, you know, I think you know, if Gareth Edwards had not been okay with Tony Gilroy coming in, we could have seen a very similar situation, like Jason was saying. So, who knows? So, I'm going to just trust Kathy Kennedy.
Like my, you know, as much as I'm Hollywood Steel, I'm not, you know, I'm not a film director, but it was always my impression that Gareth, I don't know, just didn't have the clout to sort of throw his weight around with that film sort of thing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he was for him, it was like a massive opportunity and it wasn't...
Exactly.
You know,
It's one of those things where, like, if Kathy Kennedy told me, hey, what if we do it like this? I'm probably just going to say yes because I'm directing that Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, sure, let's do it.
You know, like she was delightful, but, you know, in talking to her, intimidating.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right.
So very sure-footed. All right. I'm going to have to keep it quick, Alex, but I do appreciate your level-headed point of view.
See ya.
All right. Keep calling in, man. Thanks so much. All right. Let us go to 619. Who are you and where you're calling from?
Is that me? Oh, hello. It's Brittany.
Hey, Brittany. We don't even have time for a casino update today. And who would have knew the odds on this announcement yesterday? You would have been just wailing in cash for everyone. Brittany is our casino correspondent. But how are you dealing with this Han Solo news?
I'm surprised. Like I was stating earlier that I was stressed out trying to make a Tinder bio, and all of a sudden I find out that we have no more directors for the Han Solo film, but I trust Kathleen.
Well, this is what's happening. Brittany's love life is now in disarray. Her Tinder profile is half finished. She was just writing in for hopes and dreams that she was looking forward to the new Han Solo film. This comes in mid-sentence. She doesn't know what to do.
I will never find love. No, I'm kidding, but...
No, but that can be your test, is you can ask people on Tinder how they feel about this and judge them accordingly.
Hell yeah, that's a good idea. I might do that.
Very, very nice. Yeah, so very, very shocking. All right, so where do you stand on the Kathleen Kennedy We Trust issue?
Oh, I 100% trust her. I know that this was released right now for some reason. I feel like that we are going to get a director in the next days or weeks. Like, I feel like they already have someone, but they just haven't announced it yet. That's my theory.
Okay. Well, the next days and weeks, that's you're really narrowing it down there, Brittany. That crystal ball of yours can do no wrong.
I grew up in the casino. That's how I do it.
All right, buddy. I will maybe talk to you on Friday. If not, I will see you at the live show in LA on Sunday afternoon.
Cool. I'm excited. See ya.
No,
bye, Emily.
Nice. Bye. All right. We have got a Skype caller. Who are you and where are you calling from? Skype caller, that is you.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
It's Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi,
what's going on? Charlie Ashby. We were there. We were there, Charlie, at Celebration Still. Europe, at the Future Filmmakers. They had the biggest grins. They could not have been more excited.
Honestly, we were there. We could sense the sort of energy coming off them. They were so excited. They're probably the biggest anchor to that film, the reason why I was excited for the film anyway. Han Solo, nothing to do with it. It's those two. And now we find out they're going. And it is a pretty big deal. And, like, I know we're thinking about the film itself, but these guys mentioned that they were moving to England, which is a pretty big deal. Their kids were moving schools. So the fact that they're now leaving the film with Freaks to Go, something big must have gone down, or at least there was a big problem there.
You make some good points about the kids moving out there. It was a big thing for those guys. And, yeah, it's kind of bittersweet now to look back, because I remember just being there and, like, being so thrilled for them. Like, there's nothing I think Star Wars fans enjoy more is people being very excited about being involved with Star Wars. And, they were beaming.
It's never good to see fans get involved in that sort of process and then maybe lose a bit of their fandom because of it. And I think that the press release itself, if you look into it, there's a few little... I mean, the fact that it says the May 2018 release makes me feel like they're sticking by it. And I think that they definitely do have a director, someone to replace them. I think Phil Lord and Chris Miller still love the film. Only a few weeks ago, they were still making jokes about Han Solo and stuff on Twitter. So I feel like maybe they had something to do with the process themselves. Maybe they didn't want the film just to be left and disregarded, and they wanted to find someone else to leave the project. Apparently they've been talking with DC to the director of the Flash film, so maybe this is something that they were negotiating for a little while now. It's a shame, but I think that this happens with films sometimes, isn't it? Just why do they have to release it at 2 a.m. in the morning? I don't know.
Well, it's always 2 a.m. somewhere, buddy.
I know, but when it affects me, it's a big deal.
Okay, fair enough, man. Hey, Charlie, we appreciate you calling in, and I'll talk to you soon, my man.
Yes, I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, mate.
Bye, everyone.
Alrighty, we have got one more caller, and then we'll call it quits. 585, who are you, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Emily. Hi, Steele. It's Colleen.
Hi.
Hey, Colleen. What are you thinking? What are you feeling?
I am shook. If I am shook. If. And I just wanted to say that this would never happen if my husband, Ryan Johnson, was directing. And that's all I have to say about the matter.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's always good to hear from Mrs. Johnson. very, very interesting. Where's your trust levels in the Kathleen Kennedy We Trust camp?
I love Kathleen. I know Ryan trusts her, so I will trust her. I think she can put the team on her back and carry us.
All righty. You got referring to that thing of, like, I was walking along the beach and there was two sets of footprints, and then when there was a change of directors in the Han Solo film, there was only one set. Kathleen, where were you then? And Kathleen says, I was carrying you, Colleen.
Were you in Hallmark today, Steele?
No, but I went to a Catholic primary school, so some of those stories really stuck.
Oh, jeez. I think.
Alrighty,
I think,
Colleen.
I think gonna,
thanks so much
okay.
for calling in. I'm
thank
sorry
you.
I have to keep it so short. Emily, thank you. I really put out the Lind signal out across New York to see if you were around to take the call, and you came in.
Yeah, that's the benefit of having no life.
Ah, excellent, excellent. Now, Emily, you've got a podcast about Twin Peaks with Charlie, I believe.
Yes, it is called How's Annie. You can find it on iTunes and various other places. You can also find it on RadioFreePodcasting.com, which is Patrick Bonfrisco's podcasting network.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for everyone in the chat room. Thanks for everyone that called in. If you have just downloaded this, we did it on the fly, and we'd appreciate your retweets and shares right now, because this is some hot content. Red hot content needs to be shared about. Thank you, Emily. Thanks also to Jason for making Star Wars to have an exception with his not looking at his phone for the next few hours rule and breaking it for us. We'll be back with another call-in show at our regular time, Friday night if you're in America, during the day, Saturday if you are in Australia. I'm sure this will be a hot topic. Tomorrow on the podcast, we will have our full-length interview with Mike Quinn, the amazing and super fun to talk to man behind Neam Numb in both Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and The Last Jedi. That will be up tomorrow. We recorded it yesterday, and how so many things have changed since then. I am Steel Saunders, and may that force be with you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Also, for more Star Wars podcasting, check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network at makingstarwars.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.